we are in what I call the Epiphany season. Of course, it's the Christmas season, but that part of the Christmas season in which we are celebrating Epiphany, meaning celebrating God revealing himself. We might think of the different moments in which we know God revealed himself. The liturgy certainly points to the experience of the Magi. God revealed himself as an infant to these wise men from the East. Another very prominent one is what we will celebrate on Sunday, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. That's an epiphany moment, a revelation. The Father himself says, "This is my beloved Son." And it's a real declaration of the beloved Son present in the world. Another one that the liturgy points to is the first sign Jesus performed, that is the miracle at Cana. It's an epiphany moment. It's a revelation moment. And the more we start to, now these are the big ones I just mentioned, but the more we start to reflect on these, the more we realize there are lots of them. The Gospels are full of them, and so is the whole history of the church. God is revealing himself all the time. But as we pointed out yesterday, his revelation of himself is not always welcomed with faith. Not everybody is like the Magi. Some people are like Herod. And we ourselves, we might be Magi, we might be Herod. The apostles yesterday were described as being completely out of it. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't get the message of the Epiphany. Today we read another Epiphany Gospel. I'm using the term very broadly, as you know, the Revelation Gospel of Jesus in Nazareth. The liturgy very carefully skips over the part, or stops the reading at the part where the people of Nazareth turn against him. So in this section of Luke's Gospel, everybody speaks favorably of him and is amazed at his gracious words. But very quickly, their amazement will turn to hostility, as if the Magi suddenly become Herod. And the reason I mention this is because we have to recognize the two directions that we go in when it comes to God revealing himself. We either welcome him or we reject him. And it isn't simply a matter of we like him or we don't like him. Either we worship him or we are violently opposed to him. That's how it goes. Either Magi or Herod. Either faith or rejection. Now, most people are at neither of those extremes. They say, well, Jesus is a good guy and he has said a lot of beautiful things, and if you want to put a picture of him in your bedroom, well, that's fine. And everybody has their favorites. So that's the way people think nowadays. Jesus is something like a philosopher that you can favor, or you can take some of his good ideas if you like them. That's not one of the options in the end. Either we worship him or we're violently opposed to him. Now, it's true that until we determine ourselves, there's sometimes ambiguity, including in the apostles, as we saw yesterday. There was this hardness. They were not violently opposed to Jesus, but they didn't really know what to make of him either. So they were not yet at one extreme or another. But that's the end result. When God reveals himself, ultimately we either worship him or we reject him. Okay, now the week has a certain progression, which is good to reflect on. Jesus is in his public ministry doing remarkable things. He's healing people, he's driving out demons. He's multiplying the loaves, he's walking on the water, and by this time, it's already Thursday in the week, by this time we might be saying to ourselves, oh, okay, now I get it. The manifestation of God is miracles. Jesus comes and he does miraculous things. So then we might start thinking, okay, when is he going to do the miracles for me? Or when is he going to grant blessings to my family? Or when is he going to end this pandemic? Or when is he going to heal my loved ones? And all these things. Now, that's not completely wrong, but it's not complete either, because Jesus is more than a miracle worker. He's more than someone who comes to heal. And if we exaggerate our attention on his miraculous healings, the danger is that we start to turn him into something for ourselves, and we start to try to use him to satisfy our desires, and that won't work. That will backfire. Jesus isn't here simply to make us, to spoil us, or make us self-centered. Quite the opposite. He wants to make us like himself, which is love. Okay, so here he comes to Nazareth, and the people are all excited about all his miracles. He comes to the synagogue, and he doesn't perform a miracle. Instead, he reveals something more, as if to say, I'm not just here to cure people, I'm here to fulfill the word. I'm here to fulfill what has been prophesied about the Messiah. So he reads a passage that is clearly about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on the Messiah. He has come. He's anointed. He's come to bring good news to the poor and to declare liberty and reconciliation with God. And then he says, Jesus says, and these words are fulfilled in your hearing. This prophecy made some 900 years ago is fulfilled today. It's a stunning thing to say, a very almost shocking, but also glorious, wonderful. It's a epiphany moment. It's a moment of revelation that this prophecy is fulfilled today. Now, we who have just gone through the whole Advent season know that Jesus fulfills prophecies, and that was the whole structure of the early part of Advent: prophecy, fulfillment, prophecy, fulfillment. So here it is again. But we're reflecting on it in light of this week, which is God revelation of himself. So here is God making a statement of his mission, his mission's statement, mission, vision, statement, which we in the community are still in the process of working on our mission statement. This Jesus' mission statement, what has he been sent to do? Well, he's been sent in the power of the Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to bring liberty, to bring recovery, to bring freedom, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Establish for the people of God a renewed relationship with him. He has not come simply to satisfy what we want him to do. He has come to fulfill what the Father had decreed from the beginning. Again, it's a matter of stretching ourselves, because as soon as we start focusing on what we want, we will be disappointed by the coming of the Lord. He doesn't do what we want. And so his revelation, his manifestation of himself, can provoke a violent reaction, a rejection. Oh, this pandemic is a great example. Well, if God is here, if he's manifesting himself, why doesn't he get rid of this virus? And if he doesn't get rid of it, well, then we'll do something our own way. He's not satisfying our desire. You see, we put ourselves in the middle, and we think that God should follow our commandments. See how twisted we get. No, God is with us. He is revealing himself, and our response is to submit ourselves to him, to discover and follow his way. Now, the beautiful first reading today helps us with this. Again, another passage from the first letter of John, another passage about love. John reminds us, in fact, he instructs us insistently, that the revelation of God is not about us or what we initiate. It's about God, who is love, implanting his love in us and then drawing us into that dynamic of love. We love God because he first loved us. God loved us. So at the center of the whole thing is not power or fulfillment of our desires, but love. And love is other-centered. So John goes on, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, well, you're lying. You can't. That's not how it works. You can't insert love into hatred. And you can't make God something that he's not. To benefit from revelation is to welcome the revelation of love, to welcome love and to participate in it. And so he goes on to say, whoever believes and loves also loves those whom God loves. Back to the pandemic. If the pandemic leads to an increase of love in the world, well, then it's a good thing. You see how different it is to say, well, that pandemic is obviously an evil thing. They say the number of casualties is now pushing toward 2 million. Well, how could that not be a terrible thing? Well, God isn't about making life in this world last forever, like we're living in a fairy tale. He's about love, and he'll do anything to make it, to reveal his love to us and to draw us into it. Surely that's what he wants to do in the trial that the world is going through. But if we turn our hearts to hatred, if we spend all our time complaining about what God is not doing, or what people are not doing, or what the government is not doing, well, then we're missing the whole grace. The love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. The victory that conquers the world is our faith. So we have this power. We have this gift. This is revealed to us. But are we Magi or are we Herod? Are we welcoming this gift and participating in it, or are we opposing it? Are we blocking the gift? And this week, let us continue our journey as Magi, continue to grow in wisdom, and especially grow in love.